came up, which result from the lesson this morning. And this, of course, is be that you're a visitor or a member. This opportunity to get things clarified is for both members and visitors alike. If you are a visitor, just to show off your hand, we will bring the mic to you so that you can express yourself. If you were here this morning and have any question as it relates to the lesson that was preached. Okay.
I'm wondering, if you are a Christian and your life has not had many sorrows and problems and stuff like that, should you be worried, or is that an indication that you are not as faithful as you should be? Is that what the Bible is teaching?
What Sister Reynolds is asking, here you are a child of God, and I'm thinking that you're thinking of a person who has been a child of God for some time, and as such, you do not experience a lot of trials and ups and downs. You have not confronted many. You want to know if that indicates that you are not a child of God, or you are not so faithful. No, it wouldn't.
So upon the passage that says, the Lord chastises those whom he loveth. Passages like those.
Yes. It may just mean that God takes longer to chastise that person. My father and my mother were two different persons. My father, you know, you do things and get complained. And he would go about his business. He wouldn't say a thing. And sometimes for all 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, of course, with my mother now, as you slip up. And when, you know, after we pass certain age, we could run from her. She'll throw things at us. You know, my father, no. Go about his business, get complained. But when he catch you, when he finally hold you to give you a chastisement, you don't forget it. And he wasn't, in fact, you know, not like some father who are just cruel and no. He was nothing like that. He was very patient and tolerant. But when he thinks, or when he thought that he had accumulated complaint, so if we are Christian and we start to feel like we go free, it just means that God not ready to draw us up yet. that's one answer. Remember too, in the lesson, and I'm sure this will come up, some Christian experience more challenges than other Christians. I repeat, some Christians experience more challenges, confront more negatives in their lives than other Christians. Just a fact. All the great men and women in the Old Testament did not go through what Job went through. We are going to have a part of next week's lesson, this lesson coming up, will be on Job. Not just looking at what he went through, but some of the things that we can gather from his friend. One of the interesting part of that lesson will be how his friend thought to get answer to Job's severe situation from Job, and the answer was not there. And that says something to us. Because a lot of times we tend to, what have I done, Lord? Why am I going through this? And a lot of times there is a greater cause, bigger than me and you, why we go through some of the things. Matthew, as will be coming up in the lesson, a lot of suffering come as a result of our own doing. And a lot of it is not necessary that God is chastising as such. But some suffering result from wrong decision we make. I as a Christian, I've illustrated this more than once. Here is it. I am a 50-year-old person. Okay, that's relatively young. Okay, from about the age of 25, I have been abusing alcoholic beverages. You following me? I smoke, and that we usually say the person is burning from both ends. Person not only drink a lot of alcoholic beverages from that young age, the person smoke, inhaling in his or her body the poisonous toxin in cigarette. And the person have a lifestyle that is just not healthy. So by the time the person reached, now here this person became a Christian at age 48. 2 years after, at age 50, the person started experiencing a lot of health issues. The person went to doctor, the person suffered from short breath, went to doctor, the doctor tell the person, your heart is not as healthy as it should. And then in another few months, the person have some other symptoms, and the doctor point out something else wrong here and there. And the person begin to think, because this is the normal thing. Look, as I become a Christian, look at the things that happening to me. When Christianity have nothing to do with that. That years of abusing alcoholic beverages, smoking, living a lifestyle that is contrary to good health, it just now starts stepping in. But then we too, as fellow Christians, will give the person the idea that Satan, of course, the abuse of alcoholic beverages and smoking and whatever is Satan's doing. You know, when we live our own lives and tell ourselves that nothing wrong with it. You know, but we blame everything. And we start feeling good. Well, you know, since I become a Christian, look on the things that. No, you see, a lot of that is ignorance. So what I'm saying, Cheryl, lot of things we suffer from, it is as a result of our own decision. I want to use this in, because I know that there is no less than two lessons to come on the benefit. The central part in the series of lessons, today we have the first one, we will have at least two more, is to help us understand that there are great spiritual and moral benefit from suffering. I don't know if that coming up in Sunday lesson to show that out of suffering the Almighty God mold and make us. You see, and that is important. But there are sufferings that are as a result of our own doing. Let me illustrate again. I'm working at a place. I have a rotten attitude. I am indisciplined in reaching work on time. I've been at the workplace for 5 years. And management and supervisors have been watching that. Well, finally a decision is made that they cannot keep me any longer. I am fired. Now that worker start blaming who? Supervisor, manager. I know the manager don't like me, you know. And you see that supervisor? He's wicked, you see. And the person, now the person was told, you know, why you are fired. We have been checking your work ethics over the past few years and it's just not in keeping with. So there is no hidden secret, but the person just brushed that one side. Okay. Naturally, the person going to be in need of a job. The person going to need recommendation from the last place he or she worked. The recommendation, if given, not going to be nice if the workplace tell the truth. But that person, in most cases, the problem in getting another job, the difficulty, the person not going to blame him herself. You see, so many. Okay, who caused that? Is it the boss? It's just like a man sentenced to 5 years because he stole something. And you know whom he blamed? He blamed the judge and the police who arrest him. Eh? He never think. In fact, people like that never improve. You see, that's our problem. When we do not have the little that it takes to carry out self-examination, we are doomed, truly. When we find the boss to blame and the supervisor, when we blame the police and the judge and the people who witness, then just give me another chance and I'm going to do the same thing. In fact, it's the same thing in the church. Huh? If you or I are known to be a gossiper, a mischievous person, a contentious person, and that over time is established, and certain line is drawn, until you or I examine ourselves and do something about it, all we need is opportunity. Because a person will start to calm down for a time. But after time, the same gossip, the same mischievousness, the same contentiousness going to go on. So our inability to carry out self-examination, and a lot of people cannot do that. May I repeat? Lot of people are unable to carry out self-examination, and they do not realize that that keeps them back. Just like the man who might have stole something from the workplace. If when he's fired, he would take some time off and examine himself and say, you know, I did that. And I should not. He's not going to tell. In fact, he doesn't even call the stealing. He say, I'm taking, take it. That's right. Because if he said stealing, it may sound bad. You see, we find all sorts of reason to excuse ourselves. And therefore, we don't improve. A lot of time, we only take a break to let the thing pass. Give us an opportunity, and we discover the same person is there. So, a lot of the... some of this will come out in... A lot of what we suffer is as a result of our wonder. We suffer because of ignorance. We don't know. And we make decisions. We suffer financial problems, health problems. A lot of health issues we suffer is as a result of ignorance. We don't know. And we eat unhealthily. We make wrong financial decisions. What those that used to give big time profit name again? Cash Plus, Holding, name it. So you see, and all the few dollars we save and could hardly spare, we invest it wisely, unwisely, and we suffer. We must not bring those in chastisement. We must not bring those in where, listen this passage. It's a passage you all know, and it's a passage coming up in either next week or the previous week's sermon. The law. Coming, Brother Webb. Remember your point. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange things happen to you. But rejoice. Watch here now. The passage is largely speaking about genuine Christian suffering because of your belief, because of your association with Christ and Christianity, because of stand that you take for Christ, and your belief, all of that's what this is like about. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, he may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be, King James, ye, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. Which means, don't be ashamed of that. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. What a blessing. God's spirit and glory rest on you because you suffer for Christ's name. On their part, he is even spoken of. That is, people that have the suffering you came as a result of people who do not like Christ, so that you associate with him, they find all sorts of fault with you. That's what it meant here. It says, on their part he is even spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Now verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matter. Are we there? You're not there. What verse 15 is telling us is that we do suffer for these things, but we have nothing to glory about. And we must keep that in mind. Of course, a lot of times, we can be so way off in our thinking. As I said, one of the discouraging things I find in the church is people who cannot even see that they are wrong. Just like the man at the workplace who cannot see that the stealing is not a matter of taking. You steal the thing, you should not have done so. He finds all sorts of excuse to criticize the boss or the manager. There are people in the church like that, and that is a terrible thing. It's terrible in that people like that never improve. But we do suffer as the evildoer, but we are not too if we are Christian. So let us not mix up the two. When we suffer because of legitimate reason of wrong we have done or say, a rotten attitude and disposition, then be careful how we bring God into it. Okay? Brother Webb.
Just to add to the comment from Sister Reynolds, because sometimes when we talk about that God chastens those who he loves. Sometimes we think about some big things.
Yeah.
But the way he chasten one person may not be how he does it in another person.
Yeah. Everybody listening? That the chastisement and the consideration there in Hebrews, Brother Webb is right, that sometimes the way God chasten one person, it might not be the way he does with the other person. Go on.
Right, and so sometimes you may look on and say, well, you know, this person has not been going through anything.
That's right.
But in fact, the person may be going through things
and don't recognize it as such.
And don't recognize that. And to add to that, you have situations now where when you're different persons will react to things in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Some persons, if they get up and a little finger is hurting them, then that becomes a big chastening.
Yes, for that person.
Yeah, that person. And so it's like the world is coming to
an end.
Another person, you move along. So you have those factors at play because, it's not the same.
Yes, yes.
For everyone.
Yes, yes. As Brother Webb, you make a passing statement in the beginning of your comment, and I take it up because you are so right. That a lot of times, the way God chastises us might not be the way we are expecting. Lot of times we are doing for God to do some conspicuous thing, some chastisement that we must know that, I know that God is chastising me. When a lot of times God's chastisement is more subtle, if I may use that term. That I go through certain thing as chastisement from God doesn't necessarily mean that the other child of God who might have done or thought or say or sin in the same way going to be chastised the same way. My mother never tied me down in the bed fearing that I'm going to run from her. But just since this year, my brother, I shared this with you already, was sharing with us. He is among the youngest, not the one who lives in my district now. Trevor gave the illustration how he went. Our mother sent him out. And he met some of his friends. I used to do that. And spent a long time. So that when he was coming back home now, he was fretting that our mother going to really put it on him. But he said he came home, he got his dinner, he ate. But he was confused. He was wondering how comes our mother said nothing to him. Nothing. And he said it bothered him. And he went to bed. Night came, he went to bed. And in his sleep, he felt some lick being placed on him. And he sprang up to run, but discovered that he was tied down in the bed. Now his concern is just since this year we were in Canada and he was sharing it with us. His concern was, his surprise was, he didn't know that our mother knew that he slept sound. That was the thing that surprised him. How did our mother know that he sleeps sound? Our mother knew us more than we knew ourselves. You see, now my mother has never done that with me. So God does not chastise us in the same way. And again, may I come, remember your point. God's chastisement, watch here, and the normal challenges that come in our lives are not the same. Are not the same. Let me repeat that. When the Almighty God takes positive steps to chastise us in His own way, that is different from things that Satan may put in our path, in our way. Paul called the thorn in his flesh a messenger of Satan. Are we there? What does that mean? It was sent by Satan. And Satan doesn't send anything our way for our spiritual good. Now watch here. Paul prayed about three times for God to remove that thorn in the flesh. It was some ailment. And the Almighty God says, my grace is sufficient for you. You know the implication? You hear I use the statement this morning, making it on broken pieces. Huh? Here you have a child of God. As holy, as sincere, as hardworking, as Christ-like as any man could get. And yet he had a problem that would be nothing for God. But God says you have to live with it. Why, God? He hasn't told us why. But what he's indicating to Paul is that I will see to it that issue you have, a messenger of Satan, become no hindrance to you, making it and broken pieces. So let us not confuse God's chastisement and the things, the trials, the temptation, the challenges, be it with our health, our finance, problem in the home, in marriage, problem at the workplace, that really, in the sight of God, you didn't cause them, but they come your way and you have to deal with them. Okay? Mm-hmm. Brother Webb.
Additionally, the concept too of chastising those whom he loves.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's difficult for us to see that a situation may come in our lives, and it is so it's not something that we'd want, all right? But sometimes it helps us. Sometimes it helps us to recognize who we really
and
are.
And the passage in Hebrews says that, mm-hmm. probably not in those words, mm-hmm. but that's what the passage is teaching,
right.
That God's chastisement usually yields some good for us. Go on, brother. Ray.
Right. So what we find is that because it will cause a positive change,
mm-hmm.
You know, for a better,
right? Yes.
Then, though it's not something that we desire, it causes that good. And if we think about it, sometimes what we will do for a person who we don't care about that much, we just say let it go on.
Yeah.
But because we want the good for the person, we put them under a little more pressure to bring
perfect.
Out the good in them.
That's
and so it was coming back to the initial point I was making, that the way God may choose to bring that out will mm-hmm. differ from one person
to the other.
To the other.
Yeah. Because as you have said, it's people that we care for. You know, and I'm thinking here, take our children. Huh? We chastise them, we set restriction and limitation on them. We try to discipline them. For the more intelligent, rational, thoughtful parents, it's not just to give vent to your feeling. It's really to give guidance to the child. Huh? Now, mark you, in the same way, we may have sometimes children that you have tried, and they are not responsive to the guidance you give. And you reach the point you just don't bother with them. Are we all there? That happens. I share with you Brother Trail, Matthew, Cheryl. Oh, I thought I saw Cheryl here. Cheryl was here this month. Well, Matthew knew Brother Trail quite well. As many of you know, I've said this many times, Brother Trail was probably the most permanent person in Tidex. Respected. And everything. And I pointed out that the time when I was helping there, I arrived there one Sunday morning, all to be told that one of his son, grown young man, at that time that young man probably was 25, 30 in those age brackets, was found in a reservoir. But I don't think he died there. You know, you remember about it, how I don't remember if he was stabbed or parched. He was killed and dumped there. Now, I went and heard about it just before Brother Trail shared. In fact, I used to eat at Brother Trail's home. And when we went home after service, he gave me the tale. But here is it. What surprised me is Brother Trail's response. Is that it seems that from much earlier, years before, the young man took his own way, lived his own disobedient, defiant life, and didn't care what his daddy or anybody says, until Brother Trail just gave him over. In other words, let him live his own life. Brother Trail came service that Sunday morning, took part. As I've said, he was probably the most active, upfront person in the church. And took part, we got in my car, we went to their house, and while Sister Trail was getting ready the dinner, he explained to me. But it's like it didn't faze him at all. Because years before he had given over for the young man who will not take telling, let him live his own life. So it comes back to your point that it's the people that we care for that we take step to want to give guidance and help. Our children included, those we don't care for, we let them just gallop in their own ways, you know. And the passage that God's chastisement speaks of God, it tells that it's whom he loved, he chastised. And the Bible tells us that chastisement never appear good when we are going through it. Sometimes we are going through chastisement, and of course we don't know it's chastisement. You know. May I? There are a lot of things we face, and we wonder if it comes from Satan or from God. Truly. We are confused. But, may I? The Almighty God never threw anything in our way to cause us to sin. While the Almighty God may permit or allow certain things, and I said permit it, not that God efficaciously plan and brings it in, but God permit. Why God may permit some things and they become tests that bring out of us what is there. God himself never placed anything in our way to cause us to sin. Never. Bible said, let no man, when he's tempted, say that he's tempted of God. He doesn't. God doesn't want us to sin. He wants us to live obedient, righteous, godly lives. But Satan is there with dozens of options to throw in our pathway, disrupt our peace, our focus on Christ. Why? He wants us to sin. He wants us to give up our faith, our belief. That's why we must be wise. Okay? We are going to end here for the night. Yes, we are going to end here for the night. If there, was another question relating to what is under consideration, we have another 5 minutes. But if not, we are going to end here, and we are going to sing an invitation song, giving you a chance. If you are here, not a child of God, the way to become a Christian. That is the Bible's way, God's way. It is so simple that it throws people off. Truly. Because men and women are looking for complicated ways. No, God is wise. He has a plan of salvation that includes you must be taught the basic fundamental truth about Jesus Christ, your sinful state, and that only Christ as your Lord, your Savior, can deal with that. That is basic. Not only must you be taught that you must believe it. Are you a Christian when you believe? No. It matters not how strong that belief is. God's plan of salvation call for having believed, you must repent. Giving up, turning from, abandoning your way of life. That includes your way of thinking. In fact, repentance calls for a transformation of the mind. That's right. That's where it starts. You begin to learn to look at things God's way. How do you know God's way? From the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repentance is a must. Except he repent, he shall all likewise perish. At the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So having believed, we must repent of our sins. Are we a Christian then? No. When you decide to stop sinning, you are still not a child of God. All the sins you have committed the past year or two or 10 or 20 or 30 or 50, all those sins are still held against you. So to get those sins dealt with, you must confess Jesus' name, that you believe that He's God's Son, He's your Savior, He's the Christ. You are still not a child of God then. The transition comes when you are baptized. And you must be baptized. Because salvation is in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is in Jesus Christ. Now, don't take that word in lightly. And the one act of obedience that places you in Christ is baptism. Christian, you must keep that in mind so that as you teach and enlighten men and women, you can pass this on to them. Huh? Please, you must remember. In Christ, that's where salvation is. When you believe, when you believe, you are unto. Eh? That means you are going in the direction of Christ. When you repent, you are unto. You are going in the direction. When you confess Christ's name, you are unto. That you are going in. And this, all these, you know, as you all know, is Bible. The Bible used the word unto in respect to all of these steps of salvation. And the concept of unto is that you are on your way. The one step it used into far is baptism. That's what places you in Christ. And that's where salvation, forgiveness, sonship, daughtership, fellowship is in Christ. You can become a Christian tonight or recommit your life to Christ. While I'm up here, I remind you, don't miss the other lesson on problem and suffering. Bring somebody with you.